Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
I have pushed my total.
You really landed on a push in that game?
221.
Amazing.
Is it?
What was the final sequence? Was there anything particularly dramatic?
Kyrie missed a three-pointer, like literally went in and out. That would have absolutely won it for me because then they would have fouled at the very end. Pretty frustrating. At least I didn't lose, I guess, right?
Well, and the good news for you is, so obviously we won the Howard-Notre Dame second half. Looking pretty good in some of these early college basketball games. Elon is up huge in the second half. We have them plus. Florida Atlantic is up double digits right now. We have them minus a small number. Utah-Arizona State's going to be the interesting one. I think our very, very most likely record right now is 2-1. Arizona State's like down one right now at home. So that might just end up being a coin flip ending. Hopefully we're on the right side of it, minus a small number. But some fun stuff going on.
All right, love it. We'll continue with the fun stuff as we move along here on You Better You Bet Power Hour coming up. Still have to get through divisional weekends in the NFL with Ken and myself. But right now, joining us back live on the line for a second segment, we really appreciate him, the great Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, to break down the Australian Open. So, Whale, why don't we start with this here, talking the Australian Open. We know no Novak Djokovic. That's obviously been the omnipresent storyline here. When we look at the men's side with Medvedev now the favorite at plus 140 at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, how does it kind of shake out this tournament now with no Novak Djokovic?
Yeah, it's fascinating, man. And if people are probably caught up in just sort of the pandemic and, you know, angle to this and the vaccine angle to this, and, you know, the tennis side of it is pretty unbelievable because Djokovic is obviously, he's a 3-time defending champion. He's won this event 9 times. He's on the cusp of, if he were playing, he would be the favorite to win a 10th Australian Open and, you know, break the record for career total slams, passing Federer and Nadal. And so this is huge that he is not competing in this. It feels a little fateful, honestly, that he is, you know, not even in the field, let alone, the favorite to win. And it opens the door wide up for basically some of these newcomers who are on the top half of the draw. So the way that the tennis draw works, they put the 1 seed on the top, that was Djokovic. They put the 2 seed on the bottom, that was Medvedev. Coming into this tournament, I had those two players almost equally rated. I would have made in a final, in a neutral setting in this tournament, I would have made Djokovic maybe minus 101 to plus 101 for Medvedev. They're that close right now in terms of quality of play and on this surface. And so the fact that you take, you know, Djokovic out of the mix now, this is absolutely Medvedev's tournament to lose. He stays on the bottom half of the draw as the 2 seed, and we're going to get somebody interesting coming out of the top half here. Now, there's really only 3 other players in this field besides Medvedev who have won slams in their lives. And, of course, Medvedev famously won the U.S. Open in New York last fall, so he is a brand new slam winner. The older guys, including Cilic, has 0 shot. Andy Murray has almost 0 shot. And Rafa Nadal, who people didn't really know what kind of form he was in coming into this tournament, those guys are all way on the back end of their careers relative to when they were at their peaks. Now, Nadal's on the top half of the draw, and I got to tell you, he looked really, really, really fit in his first round match. He didn't face necessarily a tough opponent, so to speak. It wasn't, you know, nobody that really could push his buttons or really, kind of prey on anything that he has in his game that's weak. But it didn't matter. He was focused. He was laser. You know, he was electric, and he hit some absolute, shots that only Rafa Nadal can hit in terms of winners in that contest. And I think a lot of the other players in the top half probably watching that tape thinking, oh, man, I didn't expect this guy to come in this kind of form. So Nadal is absolutely in the mix right now, if you ask me. His problem is he's going to have to do it himself. He's going to have to beat a bunch of tough competitors on his way to a final, at which point he'll play Medvedev. So if you want to get involved with Nadal for old time's sake, you have some soft spots in your heart because he won you money at past French Opens, like, by all means, get involved. But the best way to do that in terms of a price right now is to bet him round by round, because he's going to be, he'll be a short favorite a handful of times here coming into the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. And actually, he'll probably be an underdog in his own quarterfinal to Alexander Zverev. Sasha Zverev, a German player who has never won it at a slam level. But if you look at the outright markets, he's your second choice. You know, he's playing incredibly well right now. His tennis, particularly at the end of last season, was outstanding. And, you know, he is in line to take that next step as he has kind of shaken some of the difficulties of performing at the slam level that kind of had haunted him in the past. Like, he had just unbelievable double faulting issues, couldn't ever really get a clean 3-0 win in a best of five setting. You know, his head was definitely not really in it for a couple of years there, where he just underperformed at the slam level. And he's kind of gotten that behind him. Going to the semifinals, playing Djokovic super tight in New York last year was a pretty huge step for him. And so a lot of people think he's going to be able to make, you know, make a case here in this tournament. He's in trouble, though, because he does not match up well against Nadal. Nadal, Zverev, if that's your quarterfinal, it's going to be a really tough match, and I can absolutely see Nadal getting past him. But ultimately, I think this is still Medvedev's tournament to lose. He has a very, very clean path to the final, in my opinion. I can see him getting to the final on the men's side without dropping a set, because he is that much better than every other player he's going to come into contact with on the way there. So ultimately, I still see value in Medvedev, both to reach the final and to lift the trophy. So this is going to be a fun one. I'm probably going to do something along the lines of play some money line rollover on Nadal as he gets to the more difficult portion of his draw here. But other than that, there wasn't really much to take away from day one of action.
Well, I mean, you say other than that, and it was like a pretty awesome 5-minute explanation, I think, for people looking to bet the tournament. Because now I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, Medvedev now, and then Nadal match by match in the top half, and then you probably get, like, Medvedev, Zverev, or Medvedev, Nadal in the final. Like, I didn't know anything about the Australian Open before that 5 minutes. Now I feel like I know everything about the men's draw, which is awesome. So some really good advice there, I think, from Whale on the men's draw. Well, let's do the women's draw here real quick, and the futures market, obviously, to win the tournament. Ashley Barty is the favorite, plus 275 at BetRivers. Naomi Osaka, plus 650. I think a similar breakdown here would actually be very helpful for people, how the quarters shake out, kind of a strategy or advice for each half or each quarter, and how you see the draw shaping up.
Yeah, so whereas in the men's side, there's three men who have a realistic shot of winning the championship, and you just named them all. On the women's side, it's way more wide open. There are about 15 women who you could see pulling off of a title here and not be like absolutely shocked. And about one out of every four slams in the women's side, we are absolutely shocked. Like, nobody saw, you know, Barbara Krejcikova winning the French Open last year. She came out of absolutely nowhere. And those sort of things do happen in the women's, in the WTA in general, because it's best of three. Best of five on the men's side means you just don't have upsets once you get into the second week of the tournament like you do on the women's side. Best of three is a little bit more chaotic. You can have, you know, some women can just absolutely peak at the right time and take home the title. And so it makes it a little bit more open. Ash Barty, who you mentioned, is playing unbelievably well. She's playing the best tennis of her career, and she is coming in off of a Wimbledon championship. She had a great season last year. She's world number one, deservedly. And in general, she has underperformed a little bit at the Australian Open because she is Australian and she's had a little bit of home nerves, from what I can tell you. But now that she's got a couple of slams under her belt, she's playing a lot more freely and is just absolutely dynamic on serve this last couple of weeks. She wins the Sydney title, She won the Adelaide title last week and was unbelievable in doing so. She was, hitting, record aces per match, which is unusual for her because serve is not usually her strong part of her game. She's in absolute peak form. So she's the rightful favorite, but in a lot of the same way where I would recommend, if you want to get involved with Nadal, who has a real chance, your best bet is to moneyline roll. It's the same story with Ash Barty, because they put her first quarter, they absolutely loaded it with some of the best competitors in tennis. Probably the second best player in this field, at least in terms of top and ceiling, is Naomi Osaka. And she's going to have to play Naomi Osaka in round four. So basically, to get to a quarterfinal match, you could have a match where she's -120 against Naomi Osaka. So that doesn't square at all with her outright price now, which is in the +250, +275 range. And so almost certainly in the same sense that if you do support Barty, if you do think she's going to pull off her first ever Australian Open, you're best off doing a money line roll. She's going to have to do it herself. She's going to have to beat Osaka. She's going to have to get past some of these other very strong competitors within her own quarter just to get to, the semifinals and the finals here. Now, she's got the constitution to do it. I wouldn't doubt her. Osaka is going to be the toughest of those matches. And it's going to make it fun to watch. Now, second quarter, pretty wide open. No one that can realistically challenge your two best players in there. Krejcikova, your French Open champion, and Paula Badosa, who won the WTA finals. Those two women just played last weekend. It was a 50-50 match. They are on a cruise. They're on a clear path to meet each other in the semifinal, in the quarterfinals of quarter two. I couldn't really tell you who is going to win that match. I would just take the dog in that one because you're going to get some value. And then the third quarter and the fourth quarter, are probably your weaker two quarters. The top half has most of your realistic competitors here. The bottom half is full of players who are kind of out of form, a little injured, not really carrying their best tennis into this one, with the exception of Iga Świątek. Świątek, former French Open champion, she is kind of has a clean path, in my opinion, in the fourth quarter. And then the third quarter is probably where you want to try to look for a long shot. There's some names that some of our fellow, women's tennis handicappers have kicked around, like Rybakina in the 5-1 range to win the third quarter, that I have some small pieces of. But that one's, if we're going to see a surprise anywhere, it's probably going to be there.
Well, like the breakdown is absolutely sensational, in-depth, intricate, and awesome. Drew Densig is our guest at this time. @whale_capper on Twitter. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, You Better, You Bet. BetQL Network here on a magnificent Football Monday. So you have given us like an unbelievable bird's eye view of the men's side, the women's side. I want to ask you about NBA before we wrap up here, but for matches that are going to be played tonight or tomorrow or at any point in the next little bit here, are there any match results that you're on here that people could bet, maybe even at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, Monday night into Tuesday, maybe even Tuesday night, single matches here in the Australian Open?
Yeah, you want to take a fun one. There's a qualifier named Skatov. He's a Russian kid. He's +142 on the money line. I bet him this morning. He's got a fun match. Liam Brody, an English kid. He is taking on Nick Kyrgios. Kyrgios, man, he has done absolutely nothing in the last 6 months. His last win was in Atlanta. In August, and he is not the kind of guy that can take time off and be dynamic. And realistically, Brody just needs to win the first set, and Kyrgios probably quits. So I have a little bit of Brody to advance there at +165. Sorana Cristea on the women's side going up against Petra Kvitova. Kvitova is in super poor form right now. She has been a shell of herself so far in 2022. And they put her, of course, in the middle of the heat of the day on a court that she's going to be in direct sun. So she is likely to melt against Cristea. I took her Cristea money line +163. And then the match of the night is going to be Emil Roussevori, Finnish kid, taking on Felix Auger-Aliassime. FAA, as he's colloquially known, is one of Canada's best young players. He's having a really, really nice start to the 2022 campaign. Canada won the ATP Cup. Both him and Shapovalov were pretty dynamic in that contest. But I like Roussevori a lot. He is an up-and-comer, and you can get him +5 games. I bet that at -109.
Well, really good stuff there on the singles matches. I feel like I learned a lot about Grand Slam tennis in about 8 minutes, which was actually really incredible, considering how much sports are going on right now.
Ken was asking me off air in our show chat, like, who should ask the next question, the final question, and I was like, you, and it's because I'm going to bet all these tennis matches right now.
Right. So while Nick just fires on the entire board of what you said, Whale, we have about 30 to 45 seconds left. We have about half a slate of the NBA left. A lot of games already over or being completed right now. In the 6-7 games I think we have tonight, basically, in the NBA, in about 30 seconds, your favorite bet or bets?
Yeah, give me the Phoenix Suns at a cheap price, 3.5 there. The Suns team is one that I've been backing pretty frequently all season. And when you're going to give me them as a short road dog, that's kind of my favorite angle to back them. They have taken money against because it looks like we're not going to have any DeAndre Ayton here. But you know what? That does not matter against San Antonio in terms of how San Antonio runs their offense. And honestly, the small ball lineups for the Phoenix Suns here are going to match up really well against San Antonio's plan A. I think the Suns get a comfortable win and continue to cruise on their way to being the best team in basketball by my numbers.
Well, fantastic stuff, brother. The stuff on the Australian Open was absolutely stellar. I'm literally placing these bets right now. I don't want to have to fade FAA, but I'm going to do that. FAA.
A-A-A-D-E.
Well, yeah. We appreciate you, brother. Everyone, I think, can appreciate what Whale brings to our show every Monday that he's joined us throughout the football season. NBC Sports Edge, support his show, and support his show especially with Andy Molitor, one of our friends as well, the Deep Dive podcast, an exceptional NFL podcast, and they'll be doing other sports as well with the NFL wrapping up. Whale, good luck with all the bets. Good luck tonight, Monday Night Football, and we'll talk to you next week here to talk Championship Sunday with the season coming to a close.
All right, hey, best luck, guys. Enjoy the night.
The great Whale Capper joining us here on You Better, You Bet.
Two full really segments. That was some good stuff. Tennis was great.
It was. All right, so I just bet on Skaitov.
All right.
He's facing Norbert Gombos.
Love that guy.
Yeah,
Norbert, I bet against Norberts if I can. I always try to bet against Norberts.
And so now, there's so many matches here, so I'm just trying to find the rest of these here, going down the list.
Medvedev to win. That sounds like my bet.
he's 50 to minus 5 million to win tonight. Roundtable discussions wrap up hour number 3 next.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.